But now as we go to Ezekiel, why is this so important? Well, let me just pick up and give you a 30-second overview of last week. Ezekiel 36 and 37 basically are two chapters of the Bible that are written about challenging us to trust the God who promised Israel would return as a nation. And this promise was made when Israel ceased to be a nation. Now, there have been many returns, little groups of Jews, 50,000 that came with Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah, you know, was governor over a group, and they've milled around and multiplied and everything, but they never became a nation. I mean, they had to ask permission to put up stones. They had to ask permission to cut down trees from whatever the current Persian, Greek, or Roman, or, you know, Mamluk, or whatever governing nation or grouping was around them. But they haven't been a nation until Harry Truman's Bible study days, you know, our president, who voted and supported, as the president of the United States, the establishment of a nation in 1948. Very interesting. Well, trust the God who promised that Israel would return as a nation. And you know, we went through all of that last time. Ezekiel 36 and 37 talks about the God who rules the universe and tells us Israel will one day be reborn as a modern country, that the Jews would pour back into the Holy Land after centuries of exile, which they have. But the problem is that was written 600 B.C. and it didn't happen until modern times. So trust that God. But secondly, if you trust him, and if you believe he's done all that, which I do, then he wrote two more chapters that even get more fascinating. Because he says, after you see a group of people coming to a desolate land, making it bloom like a rose, living in unbelief, like dry bones that come together, but they don't have life in them yet, but they're just collected together like individual pieces brought from over 100 countries. If that happens, and it has, then what 38 and 39 says is going to happen will also happen. Trust the God who describes what, from a map, looks like Russia as a leader of an anti-Israel coalition described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. So the question we have is, who exactly is coming against Israel? Well, if you put Ezekiel 38 and 39 on a map, there is one map, you would see that it's a coalition made up of the coastal areas of northern and eastern Africa, which are quite dominantly of one religious persuasion, and also the central Eurasian hinge, which sadly lost their bid for the Olympics, even though they were working really hard on it. And in Buenos Aires last week, Turkey isn't going to get it, but that's a real Muslim nation. And then from the north, and also sweeping in from the east, all, and that's what Ezekiel talks about. Now, it's interesting, if you put words on a map, and especially a lot of people don't realize that if you really believe the Bible, and I do, Genesis chapter 10 is kind of the index for it's called the Table of Nations. And what's interesting is, if no matter what your view of anything is, you know, the people that believe, you know, that humanity's been around 500,000 years, but God indicates it hasn't been. What's interesting is all the modern nations, especially of Europe, all in their national archives go back to Genesis 10. Those names aren't just in the Bible. Those 70 people groups that Genesis 10 describes, and you see a lot of them here. These names that God is using are completely transcend all the geography changes of thousands of years of history. They're where the original people groups went out after the flood. And God says, where those people landed, those are the areas I'm talking about. See, he gave us something that wouldn't change. We know where they overspread the earth and where they went to, and that's recorded in history. So basically, you can see on the map the red areas, the green areas, the purple Persia, the gray areas, the yellow Kush, and then Put is the blue. So basically, as I'm reading Ezekiel with you, and you can follow along, you'll see these places showing up that that non-Christian people like Herodotus and like Josephus and like even modern day. In fact, when I was speaking at an institute in Russia, they dropped us off to the Kremlin, said you can spend some time, you know, get some history. And so we went around the Kremlin. Of course, I went right to the museum, the Russian museum. You know what the first exhibit is in the Russian museum, in the Kremlin, in modern day Russia today? The Scythians. They're proud that they're Scythians. And the Scythians are biblically identifiable people groups in this map. And they're from the area that is mentioned. So let's go to Ezekiel 38. 1 through 6. Who's coming against Israel? Here's what it says. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, and that's Ezekiel. Remember there were three groupings that went in 605 and 597 and 586 with the Babylonians BC. And Ezekiel went in the middle. Daniel went in 605. Ezekiel went in 597. And then the rest of the captives that weren't decimated and martyred, massacred, were taken in 586. So Ezekiel's there, and he's in Babylon, and the Lord's giving him these prophecies, and he's saying, Son of man, Ezekiel, set your face against God. He's thinking. Remember, Peter tells us that the biblical prophets most often didn't know what they were writing about. They just did what they were told. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them signified when he testified beforehand the coming of Christ and the glory should follow. Peter says these prophets, and so Ezekiel's writing along, he says, against Gog, against the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, Genesis, Tubal, okay. And prophesy against him and say, verse 3, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. Ezekiel is thinking, you should be against the Babylonians. You know what I mean? I mean, he did have a mind. And, okay, but you're against them, you know? And because he's watching the dissolution of his nation, and God is prophesying against people that aren't even in Babylon. But it's okay. It's something he was supposed to do. Verse 4, I will turn you around. I will put hooks in your jaws. I will lead you out with all your army and horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them, handling swords. Persia, that's close. Ethiopia, that has nothing to do with our problems, Ezekiel would have said. Libya, where is that? You know what I mean? I mean, this was a challenge for the prophets. Are with them, all of them, with shields and helmet. Gomer and all of its troops. The house of Togarma from the far north and all of its troops. Many people are with you. Now, if you, and I didn't have time, again, to fix these. But again, you can see this basic group from the Table of Nations. Rosh, you know, basically what would be the Baltic area. Magog is the area between the Caspian, around the Caspian Sea and north of Persia. And you see Persia, it's kind of the pink one there. Cush is the turquoise one down below. I mean, there's really no dispute about the majority of these. Cush has always been down there. It's the people between the second and the third cataract of the Nile River. I mean, it's very clear historically. Did you know that the Libyans were called the Putites? Look it up in the, I mean, they were called that for a long time. That's one of the sons of Noah one of the grandsons of Noah. I mean, this is all very biblical. Meshech, he's over there somewhere, north of Turkey, you know, over there. And then something to do with the edges of Turkey. But Turkey's kind of in the center because this is where they went out from the Tower of Babel after the flood and overspread the earth. And so basically that map would show you where Rosh and Magog and Persia just generally and Meshech and Put and Cush are all from. Now, if you wanted to look at it a different way, you know, with more modern boundaries, you'd see the northern Africa, Libya coming, and below. It's interesting who's left out in all these things. Egypt is never mentioned as being an aggressor. Yet they've been in every one of the four wars. Egypt has. 48, 56, 67, 73. But now, in the future war, they're not. It's very interesting. And, of course, the Scythians, the Russians, who were from the steppes of Russia, you see them north of the Black Sea and also the Caspian Sea. Another way to put it would be here, you know, just the idea of the Ethiopia in the south and and Libya from the far west, and Persia from the far east, and then the northern ones, Turkey, and up into the steppes of Russia. And, you know, I mean, about every Bible commentator has their own favorite map. But it doesn't end there. The Bible, keep going in chapter 38, and let me show you what else the Lord says. He says, who's coming against Israel? And by the way, I'll just read to you. You can look all this up. If you look in between the Encyclopedia Britannica, Usher, you know, the James Usher, the chronology guy, they'll tell you. Gog is a title, like Pharaoh or Czar. Magog, according to Josephus, the Magogites, the Greeks said, were the Scythians. I mean, that's, go back there, the Magogites are the Scythians, the green part, and going up above them where they came down. So that clearly, I mean, that one is about the clearest, that they are the what we would call the Russians, and also the satellite states of Russia.